The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios.
Good morning. Welcome to your Thursday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Frank Morano with news guy Al Gattulo and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is Piscopo in the Morning on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Good morning, everybody. 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. This is Piscopo in the Morning, but we are still without Joe Piscopo. He's off this week. He's going to be back on Monday. Frank Morano here with Al Gattulo, but we are thrilled that for the next 4 hours, we have a gentleman who is an expert in the field of policing. He is an expert in the field of running jail systems. He is an expert in the field of national security. He is an expert in when it comes to terrorism. And I'm sure there's about 5 or 6 other subject areas of expertise that I'm neglecting to mention. Former New York City Police Commissioner and best-selling author Bernard Carrick is in studio with us this morning. Hello, Commissioner.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Early enough for you?
No, listen, I got to have a talk with Joe. He's got to get a later show. It's like getting up at 4 o'clock is like, that's rough.
Oh, that is rough. For sure. That's for sure. But it's one of those things where hopefully you get to bed early. But knowing you, you kind of tend to burn the candle at both ends.
I get to bed pretty late. But getting up at 3:30, 4 o'clock. It's rough. Yeah. You know, I see Joe every morning. He's got those videos on Instagram where he's, you know, I'm in downtown Manhattan. I'm going to work, and I never paid any attention to it until this morning. And I'm like, boy, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the last thing I want to do right now is stare into my phone and shoot a video. There's a ton of issues in the news. Chicago, Washington, Newark, New York, even beyond related to crime and politics. But so many folks, you came to their attention, your leadership on the September 11th attacks and everything that came after it. Just so folks understand how you got to be police commissioner. And what came before that? What was your background prior to becoming police commissioner in New York City?
Come on, Frank. We only have 4 hours. We'll be here for the next
Give us
three
the Reader's
days.
Digest version.
I've been a cop, a correction officer, a New York City narcotics detective. I was pretty highly decorated, gun battles, all that cop stuff. I worked in the Middle East. I worked in Saudi Arabia for 4.5 years, working for the royal family. From 78 to 80, 82 to 84, probably before you were born. And then I started my career, so to speak, after the military in the U.S., and it took off from there.
So you couldn't hold a job? Military, correction officer, police?
I got a new job about every 2 years until I actually hit the NYPD, and I stayed intact for about 9-10 years until the mayor sent me to Rikers.
Well, so let's talk about some issues related to policing, because I don't think there's an issue that's getting more people upset, irrespective of where you fall on the political spectrum or where you live in the country, than what's happening in Chicago. Now, there's been no arrest after these incredible weekend of shootings in Chicago in which 74 people were shot in one weekend, 2 people dead following an addition. It's an incredible situation. This is a city that's less than half the size of New York. If there were 74 shootings in New York City last weekend, forget about it. It would be all anybody was talking about. And yet it seems.
And yet nobody's talking about it.
This is incredible. Let's start with why. Why has the situation in Chicago delved into this degree of chaos and anarchy?
Honestly, Frank, it's like three things. leadership, management, and accountability. Think of New York City prior to 1994. 1990, we had about 2,400 murders in New York. In
2,400.
2,400.
Uh-huh.
Three times what Chicago's having, three and a half times. Giuliani comes in 1994 and says, look, nobody wants to work, live, visit, or go to school in a place where they don't feel safe. So our first and foremost position here in his administration was going to be all about crime reduction. You reduce crime and things will change. And I can show you by graph, for every percentage point we reduced violence and murder in New York City, we saw increases in economic development. We saw increases in real estate value, tourism. And ironically, we saw reductions in welfare, where the mayor created a workfare-based system where if you were physically and mentally capable to go to work, we got you a job. If you couldn't get a job on your own, we got you that job. And you know what? Crime started to drop and everything else started to flourish. Don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me it can't be fixed. Newark is 15, 20 minutes from here. For the past decade and a half, decade at least, Newark was in shambles. Last year...
And your son's a Newark police officer,
my
right?
son's a Newark detective. He's assigned to the FBI terrorist task force there. Last year, in the last year and a half, Anthony Ambrose, who was the chief years ago, many years ago, he was brought back into the Newark Police Department. And one step at a time, they had the biggest, most successful crime reduction in Newark in probably the last 20 years.
So let's want to ask you what's behind this Newark crime reduction, because there's a ton of issues related to Newark policing and Newark crime as well. But going back to Chicago, you took over. At New York City, crime had been significantly reduced, first beginning under Ray Kelly, then continuing under Commissioner Bratton, then continuing under Commissioner Safer. Then by the time you became commissioner, crime had already significantly been reduced, and then you became commissioner, it went down even more. So let's say...
You know, when I took over in 2000, the mayor said, look, I just don't want it to go up.
Right.
Even if it comes down 1%, 2% maybe.
Can't go any lower. That was the conventional wisdom.
By September 11th, the next year, I had dropped it 15%. Like, nobody fathomed that it could go that low. Dropped at 15%, using the policies and procedures that the mayor had put in place from 1994 on, and just sticking with the program. And here's the problem. When you have programs that work, don't change them. And that's why we've seen so many problems at Rikers Island. In Chicago, they've never gotten a grasp on it. And here's the problem. It's the leadership of Chicago. Don't blame the police. The police only have so many resources, and they're doing what the mayor tells them to do.
Ultimately, that's where the buck stops.
That's where the buck stops. If you want to cower to the community, if lawlessness is okay in your community, if you want to allow it to happen, then it's going to happen. And that's what's going on in Chicago. If I was the mayor of Chicago and I had been the chief of staff for the president of the United States, I promise you, crime would have been reduced substantially, because I would have went to President Obama five, six years ago and said, look, I need help.
Now, the prior police superintendent in Chicago, Gary McCarthy, had been a police leader here in New York City and had been involved in the Newark Police Department, too, right?
Gary worked for me as a deputy commissioner in the NYPD.
So this is a smart guy, a guy that understands policing.
He's
right?
A smart guy. He understands policing. He was in charge of administration, the Comstat operation in New York City. Went to Newark. Probably could have done a lot better in Newark if he had a different mayor.
Mm.
He had Cory Booker. Mm. Cory Booker laid off 165 cops. You can't, if you're going to give a guy a job, you got to give him the resources to do the job. Don't ask one of these guys to take over a department that you're not going to give him the resources to do that job.
It's like doing a radio show with no microphones.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you could be the best radio producer in the world. Nobody's going to hear you.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, a couple of those newer cops who were laid off ended up becoming cops in Clark, where I live. That was a major problem, because they had a budget.
Well, listen, my son was on the job then. He got laid off. He waited it out. I would say most of the guys left. They went to other departments.
So the problem in Chicago, clearly Gary McCarthy knows what he's doing, right? He knew how to run a police
department.
He knows
what the issues are. He knows what the problem is.
And then, you know, he gets jettisoned. A lot of people said that, you know, he was kind of made a scapegoat for some of the problems.
Yeah, I honestly believe that. Yeah, I believe that.
So they bring in a new police superintendent. It doesn't seem like there's been any noticeable decline in crime at all.
No, there hasn't. And this weekend is a demonstration of that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's things that they could be doing. You know, I don't want to get political.
Right.
But Trump is a no-go zone or whatever they call it in Chicago. Rahm Emanuel said he doesn't want Trump. He wants nothing to do with Trump. You know what? If I was Rahm Emanuel and I had people being slaughtered in my streets, I'd be looking for the FBI, the DEA, the U.S. Marshals, ATF, to flood my zones, my neighborhoods, with my cops to start dropping this crime down, attacking the violent guys. And they know who they are. What boggles my mind more than anything right now is that they had one of the worst weekends I've heard of in U.S. policing. And there are no arrests.
No arrests. Amazing.
That's completely bizarre. And that leads me to believe that this has a lot to do with the Ferguson effect. The cops are not going to go out there and aggressively, proactively, preemptively police because they're afraid to do their job.
Is the most of the perpetrators of the violence in Chicago, is it all gang violence and gang affiliated?
I'd say most of it. Most of it. They know who they are. They know the areas it's in. You have technology today. You can identify where and when a gunshot is within seconds. You can have guys on the scene within seconds, within 10 seconds, 30, within a minute. They know where it's happening. You know, they're just not addressing it right. They're not aggressively going after it. And I think this has a lot to do with Rahm Emanuel cowering to the community.
But isn't this, and correct me if I'm wrong, this has been going on since before Trump was in office. This was going on when Obama
this
was president.
This, listen,
yeah, so I'm just saying,
for
Rahm Emanuel to say that, well, we're in a Trump no zone and he wants to save face or whatever. Hey, buddy, your pal, the president, the former president of the United States, was in office and could have done something to help you.
He could have done something to help him. What boggles my mind also is that Rahm Emanuel is running for mayor. Running for mayor for a third term. And he's probably the biggest failure in any administration when it comes to keeping your community safe that I've ever seen.
Well, so before we move on to Newark and terrorism and some other issues, even beyond public safety, which I want to ask you about, just compare, if you can, again, the leadership styles in Chicago and New York City. Here in New York, we have a very progressive mayor, Bill de Blasio. Certainly, if you look at his handling of the situation in NYCHA, if you look at his handling of homelessness, if you look at his lack of interest in transportation, doesn't seem exactly like he's the most skilled administrator in the world, but when it comes to policing, right, he's managed to appoint two very competent police commissioners that have continued to drive crime numbers down. Trump is persona non grata in Bill de Blasio's New York City as well. So why is it that de Blasio, even with his antipathy towards Trump and his refusal to do things like stop, question, frisk, cooperate with ICE detainer requests, why is crime continuing to go in the right direction in New York City, but in Chicago, where they have this Trumpless phenomenon, Chicago is the Wild West?
Because in Chicago, the mayor has more influence over the police department and pounds them with this, you know, lawlessness ideology. Where here, basically, Bill de Blasio, as bad as the rest of the city is, and I just walked up Wall Street and there's homeless everywhere, and I mean, it's
a
mess.
Yeah, I want to ask you about
here.
That. Yeah.
Forget it. Giuliani would kill me if I was walking around and saw this stuff before. At the end of the day, though, Jimmy O'Neill and Bill Bratton, they have been given the rights to do what has to be done in the city. All you have to do is follow the initial programs. The things that were put in place from 1994 on, we've had continued success in reducing crime at unparalleled numbers, historic numbers, anywhere in this country. Nobody, Nobody has done what New York City's done. And we've bombarded the national trend. Whatever the national trend is, we far succeeded it. And that's because the NYPD, one, they continue that program. But two, the one thing I've heard about Bill de Blasio, the cops may not like him, but from Jimmy O'Neill's perspective, whatever he asked for, he gets.
Mm.
So if he needs new resources, if he needs new manpower, if he need whatever he needs, I think the mayor has the common sense to realize I've got to give it to him, because the one thing that flips the city is increases in crime. And that's what we're seeing in Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis, all these democratically run cities. Here, de Blasio's left it up to the NYPD.
So with respect to policing, you do have to give de Blasio credit for, one, appointing competent commissioners, two, not trying to micromanage the
department. Don't micromanage them. Let them do their job.
And three,
and
giving them the resources that they need.
And Jimmy O'Neill, he's got a good commissioner. He's got a guy that's come through the ranks. He's got a guy that the men and women pretty much for the most part respect. Listen, he's doing a good job. You can't take it away from him.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about something we're seeing out of Newark, which has raised a lot of concerns about the situation out there. And given your expertise with an experience in New Jersey policing as well, I want to pick your brain on that. A host of other issues we're going to talk about throughout the morning. Commissioner Bernard Kerik, the man that led this police department here in New York City through September 11th, with us until 10 o'clock. Al Gattullo here with Frank Moreno. And Debbie Duhaime is on the roads. How are you this morning, Debbie?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing this morning? Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. We're hanging in there.
Good, good. Good morning, Frank, Bernard, and Alan. Everybody, let's take it over to the subways and see how things are shaping up this morning. As you head over to the subways, we're seeing some slowdowns on the 6 train with signal problems, 7 train delays with signal problems as well, and also delays reported on the D. Let's take it out to the roads. If you're heading over toward Newark right now on 22 eastbound into Freeling, Heisen Ave, right lane is blocked with flooding issues there. Garden State Parkway North at 148 in Bloomfield, a collision. Inbound GWB, 20 minutes heading into town. Lincoln Tunnel 15, Holland, about a 10-minute delay. And problems on the Cross Bronx West into White Plains Road. That's an accident involving a tractor trailer. Brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. Got issues with youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit, offers more than 1,000 free online resources for youth and high school sports coaches, parents, students, and administrators. Visit PCADevZone.org. Partly cloudy today, high of 91. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
Buying a home requires a lending partner who can help you navigate through the mortgage process. A Citizens Bank loan officer can help answer all your questions and help you select the products you need in a clear and personal way. So the next time you have a question about home financing, call 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a Citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
This is Steve Adubato. I know that AM 970 listeners want to hear compelling and important conversations. That's why my TV series, One-on-One with Steve Adubato, brings viewers conversations with people who matter and are making a difference. So check out One-on-One weeknights at 7 p.m. on NJTV, 11:30 p.m. on Fios One, and late night on WNET Channel 13, that's PBS, at 12:30 a.m.
Catch my friend Steve Adubato every weeknight on One-on-One with Steve Adubato.
All right, let's talk about Michael's of Brooklyn and their amazing sauce. They're right over on Avenue R and Nostrand. They've been around for over 50 years, family-owned and operated, run by Fred and his brother John. And honestly, I got to tell you can taste the authenticity in all of their food. We've been there before. It is a fantastic place. They've been named one of the 5 best Italian restaurants in America by the Food Network, and it's because everything they make is from scratch and they use only the best ingredients. And Michael's of Brooklyn, all of their sauces, certified gluten-free, certified non-GMO, giving you a product that is as healthy as it is flavorful. They're puttanesca, marinara, fresh tomato and basil, all fresh, delicious, and the absolute best around. This is the best part because they make the sauce right in the restaurant, right downstairs in the basement. You've heard Fred on the Piscopo show. He tells us they go downstairs. Doesn't matter. It's 100 degrees out. They got a guy down there cranking out the sauce. And the sauce that you eat in the restaurant is the same sauce that is in the jar. You can stop by and grab a case or head into any of your local supermarkets today. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the most authentic tastes of Italy for over 50 years.
If it's happening in New York, New Jersey, or Long Island, hear about it with Joe Piscopo. Mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
6:25. This is the Piscopo in the Morning Show. Frank Moreno here with Al Gattulo. And until 10 o'clock, we are joined by one of the greatest experts in America today on the subject of public safety and policing, former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick. Commissioner, let me ask you about this situation in Newark, in which we're now seeing this video that has gone viral, where a man stomped all over police cars in Newark. Cops appear on the video to be doing nothing. Now they've been suspended. Have you had an opportunity to review the video? What was your impression of it?
I've seen the video. I saw it when it first came out. I understand there's also other video. There's body-worn camera video that the police director, the public safety director, Anthony Ambrose, has looked at. These guys have been suspended. And look, I'm going to tell you something. From my perspective, and I think Ambrose would agree with me. In fact, I know he would agree with me. We talked about it. He's my man. He's a good friend. You know, these guys just didn't do their job, and that's why they've been suspended. You had a cop sitting in the car, the first car, when the guy's on top of the car, you know, cursing the cop out, banging on the car. Cop doesn't even get out of the car. He calls for a sergeant.
Now, why did the cop not get out of the car? Is it what you described earlier, the Ferguson effect, the lack of assertive policing? Is it fear? Is it laziness?
You know, that's going to be up to Ambrose to figure out. I'm sure he's going to get to the bottom of it. I don't know. I don't know what the cop was thinking. You know, naturally, you got a lot of people out there in the community, cameras. There were cameras everywhere. There's all kind of footage now floating around. It makes the cops look bad. I understand from the Director Ambrose, the mayor himself, Baraka, was irritated. These guys, you know, you're allowing lawlessness in the community. So they're going to deal with it. I think they're going to be dealt with harshly. It's just a bad circumstance. The guy should have been arrested. He should have been arrested. I don't care how many cameras there are. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care about the community yelling. You know, that guy should have been snatched off that car and locked up. But they let him go about his business. He went from one car to another and just went haywire.
Well, you think this guy was just a nut or he was, I mean, one?
Well, I can tell you this. You know, he's out there talking all this yang, you know, to these cops, cursing him out and doing all this stuff. But when he was arrested, he cried like a sissy. So at the end of the day, you know, it's all a show. But that is a problem with the culture today in communities that are, you know, that have these types of guys out there.
So talking about Newark, Newark is, I think, the largest city in New Jersey, right?
One of them, yeah. Jersey City, Newark, yeah.
Over the last three mayors there, Sharp James, Cory Booker, now Ross Baraka, a lot of folks that I've spoken to, they may not have been crazy about Sharp James. There were allegations of corruption, actually more than allegations. He was convicted in a case brought about by the U.S. Attorney Chris Christie. But then a lot of people said that when he left and Cory Booker came in, who, of course, now is a senator from New Jersey, rumored to be a presidential candidate in 2020, that, you know, he settled a lot of the right things, was very successful in maybe bringing some new business to Newark. But when it came to policing and crime, things seem to, in many instances, get worse. Is that a true perception?
Yes, it's a true perception. It got worse because he laid off 165 cops. Mm. You can't take resources out of a community like Newark and think it's not going to have an impact. You know, the one thing that Giuliani did in New York City from 94 on, I don't care what was going on, you do not touch resources for public safety. Because if crime goes up, people move out, businesses move out. Newark, same way. Crime goes up, community starts to drop, businesses aren't going to stay. But I will tell you something. You know, I didn't know Ross Baraka when he came into office, whenever it was, 4 years ago. I heard negative things about him. I've gotten to know him a little bit personally, and I know Ambrose real well. This is the best team working in Newark that I've seen in the last two decades.
Really?
Really.
Well, that's encouraging. That's great.
Ross Baraka lets the police director do what has to be done, gives him the power. He's given him more resources. I don't know the exact numbers, but they had to have hired 250, 300 cops in the last 2 years, 3 years. Baraka approved putting a class of newer cops through the New Jersey State Police Academy in Seagirt. Got them through. And, you know, look, as far as I'm concerned, they're doing a hell of a job.
No, well, that's great to hear. We're with Commissioner Bernard Kerik. He's going to be with us until 10 o'clock this morning. If you have questions about policing, you want to comment, now's a great opportunity. You will rarely have an opportunity that we have this morning to take advantage of the expertise of somebody like Bernie Kerik. 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999. Before we go to news, Commissioner, let me ask you about this fascinating story. It's the front page of the Daily News. Five people arrested for child abuse in New Mexico after they were found living with 11 children in what's described as third world conditions. And, you know, it's related to a controversial imam in Brooklyn who was linked to the 1993 World Trade Center bombings. This is Siraj Wahaj. Siraj Wahaj is an imam in Brooklyn. His son is one of these folks arrested. And apparently, at least according to the tabloids here in New York today, they're saying that this could have been, this New Mexico youth camp could have been sort of a mini terrorist training camp. Have you had a chance to review the story? What's your impression of it?
I looked at it last night. Honestly, Frank, this is one of my greatest fears. You know, people come to me all the time and they ask me, you know, will we ever see another 9/11? And my answer is probably not in the scope that we had it the last time. You're not going to have four planes flying into buildings. I don't think that's going to happen. My fear is you get a number of aggressive active shooters in four or five cities on the same day at the same time around the country. It will create sheer panic in this country. And this is the type of element that would do that. And these are, listen, and I'm going to be really confident in saying, I promise you, this isn't the only one out there. That's why intelligence is so important. That's why it's extremely important for community leaders to work with their local police and that local, state, and federal authorities are communicating, because this stuff is extremely dangerous. Just this alone was bad. But I'm confident that there are other people out there like this in our country that want the demise of the world we live in, it's terrible. Well, I mean, it's really bad.
You know, it is a scary situation. Let's squeeze in one quick call here before we go to news. 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999. Elliot in Staten Island, you're on the Joe Piscopo Show with Bernard Kerik.
Yes, good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Really, if you look at what happened in New York here in the last, from the 1980s on, it wasn't, I mean, it was probably 20% good policing because you needed it in order for the hipsters and yuppies to stop moving into Park Slope, Carroll Gardens, Red Hook, you know, Bushwick. And you see the demographics changing. And that is the result to lower crime, that you moved out the people that created the crime and you put in people that are not doing the crime.
That's true. I mean, it's true. It's, look, you know, it's what Giuliani said in the beginning. You know, you reduce crime, everything else is going to flourish, and it did. And we've lived by that in New York City ever since.
Well, it definitely is a different city than the one that you took over as police commissioner. Certainly a different city than the one Mayor Giuliani came into as mayor. Do you have to give, and I know a lot of Giuliani folks are reluctant to give Mayor Dinkins credit for anything, but do you have to give Mayor Dinkins credit for, one, having the foresight to appoint Ray Kelly as police commissioner, and two, pushing through what was a very unpopular tax increase, the Safe City, Safe Streets tax increase that allowed Mayor Giuliani to hire more police officers?
Yeah, I'll give him credit for that, except, you know, I worked as a cop under Mayor Dinkins, and I saw what was allowed to go on then. I was a cop during the 92 riots and how he cowered to the communities. So I don't think a lot of his policies. Ray Kelly came in. Look, Ray Kelly came in after Giuliani left for Bloomberg and did a phenomenal job, especially in securing the city, especially in addressing counterterrorism measures. Did a phenomenal job driving down crime. I think Ray Kelly would have done a much better job under a different mayor than David Dinkins. Mm. But when he was under Michael Bloomberg, and Michael Bloomberg himself, phenomenal job at getting the city one step at a time better than what it was.
That's why it's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen. But if Bloomberg does choose to run for president as a Democrat in 2020, which people are talking about, if he is going to be subject to the same sort of criticisms from the hard left as he was when he was mayor of New York City for programs like Stop and Frisk and aggressive policing. But I'll get your take on the political end of things a little bit later in the show. We're here with Bernie Kerik, 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999. This is the Joe Piscopo Show. I'm Frank Morano. Here's Al Gattulo with the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
75 degrees at 636. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Governor Murphy holding a closed-door meeting with New Jersey transit officials this morning in Newark. He's trying to get to the bottom of the nightmarish commute for riders in recent weeks, including dozens of train cancellations caused by engineers taking unexcused absences. He'll also address track problems and safety upgrades that are impacting service. The governor is expected to brief reporters following the meeting. We'll get more on the woes of New Jersey transit with Debbie Duhame after this update. The New York City Council has passed a bill that puts a one-year moratorium on licenses given to Uber and Lyft vehicles. Council members say not only will the measure help with increased congestion from extra vehicles, but will stave off losses from yellow cabs and livery drivers who have seen their incomes and medallion values plummet due to increased competition. Six cabbies have committed suicide this year due to financial ruin. Those in opposition to the bill say such a move will serve to make it harder to get a for-hire vehicle for folks traveling outside of New York City. In sports, Giancarlo Stanton's Grand Slam capped a six-run second inning as the Yankees beat the White Sox 7-3 on the south side of Chicago. Yankees, though, still nine back in the American League East. Jacob DeGrom struck out 10 over six innings of four-hit ball, Mets shutting out the Reds by the final of 8-0. Stuck in traffic, Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
Hey, good morning, Al. You mentioned New Jersey Transit. Five canceled trains this morning because of the positive train control. Looks like one on the Northeast Corridor, one on the Morris and Essex, one on the main Bergen, and two on the Montclair Bouton. Let's also tell you what's happening with the subways. We're seeing delays on the 6, the 7, and the D, all with some ongoing signal issues to deal with. Over on 22 eastbound, flooding finally subsiding, getting out toward Frelinghuysen Avenue, Newark. Inbound GWB 25, Lincoln 20, Holland still 15 minutes getting into town. We're seeing some volume here as you head over to the Staten Island Expressway eastbound, getting out toward 440. Accident involving a truck. It's on the shoulder. Southbound Van Wyck at Union Turnpike, a disabled vehicle was just cleared. Westbound Belt, Lefferts Boulevard, that's an accident. And watch for delays on the Deegan South through Fordham Road with construction. Cross Bronx West at White Plains Road, a collision there as well. Partly cloudy today, high of 91. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Indeed. Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at indeed.com/hire.
Napa know-how.
If your motor oil pour is more of a motor oil spill, you need a 5-quart easy pour jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic for just $26.99. Because even if you can hide that mess under the hood, you can't hide from the stench of burning oil. So grab Easy Pour Valvoline for just $26.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 8/31/18.
Join me, John Friedman, for Talking Sports every Saturday evening, 8 to 10, right here on AM 970, The Answer, WNYM. We'll see you then.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You may know me as a comic with a knack for punchlines, but today I have a serious message. Like me, you probably know a relative, a friend, or a coworker whose life has been upended by cancer. You yourself may be facing cancer like I did, but fighting cancer doesn't have to be done alone. At Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center in Elizabeth, dedicated and experienced oncologists and skilled nurses stand beside patients all the way, from diagnosis through treatment. The entire staff works together to devise the most effective range of treatment therapies for each and every patient. Cancer Care Navigators help patients manage all the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of living with cancer. And in a caring, compassionate, and uplifting setting, Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center brings a comforting and targeted approach to cancer care. So take a moment to call the Trinitas Comprehensive Cancer Center at 908-994-8000 to get more information about cancer care delivered with the whole patient in mind. 908-994-8000.
Joe Walsh, coming up tonight at 9 on AM 970, The Answer.
Live from the smartwaytobuy.com studios.
Twenty minutes till 7 o'clock. This is the Joe Piscopo Show. Joe Piscopo is going to be back on Monday. Frank Moreno here with Al Gattulo and Commissioner Bernard Carrick, who, in addition to being New York City Police Commissioner, in addition to being the former Commissioner of the Department of Corrections and former Interim Minister of the Interior in Iraq, and we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East in a little while because there's a ton of stuff going on there. Also, a terrific author. His last book, a must read, called From Jailer to Jailed, and Commissioner, in that book, you not only talked about your experience being a, you know, a police commissioner and a correction commissioner, but you talked about your own experience of being put through the criminal justice system, taking a guilty plea, and then ultimately serving time in prison yourself. Now, a lot of people believe that your prosecution, including me, by the way, was a result of selective prosecution and the fact that you were targeted by the Department of Justice, by prosecutors, because of who you were, your high profile and the nature of your politics and some of your affiliations with other prominent political figures, George Bush, Rudy Giuliani, and others. Now, there's the biggest story in the country right now involves the trial of Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort being put on trial by the Robert Mueller team. Robert Mueller, independent counsel tasked with investigating Russian collusion and obstruction of justice. Paul Manafort on trial for nothing having to do with any of that. Day 8 of his trial begins today. Give me your take on this whole Manafort situation.
Manafort is on trial because he worked in President Trump's campaign for, I don't know, 6 months, 4 months. I don't know what the number is. That's the only reason he's on trial. They squeezed him. They're attempting to squeeze him to get to the president. That's what they do. This is stuff that went on from back in 2005 or 2006 in Manafort's life. You know, they stick him in solitary confinement, and I've been there. Solitary confinement for pretrial inmates is nothing but an attempt by the government to drive you insane and have you give up. You know, and they did that to this guy, and now he's on trial, you know, and they're using one of the guys that worked with him, for him, whatever the case may be, a guy that actually stole from him too. They're using him as their star witness, you know. So from my perspective, one, I don't believe anything that guy says. I don't care what he says.
Rick Gates,
unless he has a video showing it, I won't believe it, because prosecutors basically take people like that to use against others. They extort testimony from them by threat. And, you know, when you're the target of one of these investigations, it's basically a fight for your life. Because at the end of the day, a felony conviction is a life sentence of collateral consequence that destroys you personally, financially, professionally. So, you know, when you're fighting for your life like this, you're going to basically do anything and say anything anybody wants to help yourself. So they stick Rick Gates on trial with Manafort from, and this is my own personal opinion. I don't know Manafort. I don't know Rick Gates. But you know what? I've seen it done over and over and over again. My case, it was an ethics and civil issue. It was resolved in a Bronx Supreme Court. It was done. And I was told, you know, plead guilty to this ethics charge and you can go about your business, go on, move on with your life. And as soon as I did, the federal government came in and attacked me for the same exact charges that I just pled guilty to in an ethics for an ethics charge that was not a felony. It was not a misdemeanor. It was a violation. And I paid a $220,000 fine. Mm. But they came in anyway and started a federal investigation.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I was talking with Anthony Pope, who you may know, former Newark cop and now a prominent attorney in New Jersey. He was sitting in your chair a couple of days ago, and I brought up, you know, look, how can Mueller be prosecuting Manafort for this when he's tasked with investigating Russian interference in the election and obstruction of justice on the part of the Trump campaign? And he basically said, well, it's true, but if he uncovers any crimes, he has to pursue them. My kind of and look, I don't if he committed bank fraud or tax fraud, I think that's terrible. However, my beef with what Mueller's doing with Manafort here is similar to what we've seen in other high-profile prosecutions, including yours. Now, there have been a lot of other cabinet nominees that hired nannies who they weren't paying taxes on. There have been a lot of other people that maybe didn't pay the proper amount of taxes on gifts that were given to them. Very few of them ended up in federal prison. I've never been a fan of Michael Grimm, right? But he went to prison not for anything he did as a congressman, but for stuff he did as a restaurant owner, hiring restaurant workers off the books. If we're going to start putting restaurant owners in business in
that's
jail,
that's 80% of Manhattan.
Forget about it. It's 90% of Staten Island. And Manafort was a jet setting.
You're the 10%.
Exactly. Manafort was a jet setting lobbyist that worked on international political campaigns. If we're going to start investigating every single American lobbyist and political consultant that's doing work for foreign governments, I would venture it's 95% of them that if we're going to adhere this degree of scrutiny to them, they're going to end up in a federal criminal trial.
There's two issues, Frank. One, see this newspaper. You could take the Daily News, the New York Post, and that New York Times, put it all together, stack it on top of each other. Give me a stack of subpoenas, federal subpoenas and subpoena power, and I promise you, I will lock up and indict everybody in this building. Not this office, the entire building. I can lock up everybody and indict everybody in this building if I want to. The problem is Manafort was selectively targeted, and that's the key behind your overall statement about how many are out there, how many does the same thing. It's only bad when you're the target, when you become the target. And the government selectively and politically targets people. And I've said this for years, for 4 or 5 years, we've been talking about this. I don't think, personally, there is no greater threat to our democracy than a government that weaponizes its own criminal justice system to target its own citizens for political or selective reasons. There's nothing worse than that.
So what is the solution? I mean, clearly Donald Trump wants some other way of doing this, I would think.
You know what the solution is? The solution is eventually the president's going to have to appoint an attorney general that wants change within our justice system and then call in Congress and say this kind of stuff has got to stop. Rudy Giuliani was on Sean Hannity last night and he made this statement. In fact, I think I tweeted it out. He said, we have to ensure that this never happens in America again. What they're doing to the president of the United States is exactly what they did to me, even right down to targeting his attorney, you know, targeting his family, threatening his family and supporters. they're doing exactly the same thing to him that they did to me. And I look, when it happened to me, I got it. I understood it. I knew what it was about. Giuliani was the front runner in 2006, you know, for the presidential nod. I knew why they were coming. But I think two things come out of that. One, I was, you know, I was having conversations with my wife on a daily basis saying, let them do what they're doing. Let them do what they got to do. It's going to amount to nothing. I didn't do anything wrong. No, I don't care if you think you did nothing wrong or not. If they want you, they're going to find something wrong. They're not investigating a crime. They're investigating the man. But I never in my life thought that I would see it at the highest levels in the Department of Justice. And when you have the FBI director lying under oath in the, you know, leaking privileged and confidential information outside of the Department of Justice and the FBI, and the deputy director making false statements, three of which were under oath. I don't know. I don't even know how to talk about that.
Well, we have to take a break for traffic in just a minute. And if people have questions or comments, 877-970-2999, we will get to you. But you've written about how your own perspective on the criminal justice system changed after you were put through it on the other side, right? Do you think, now, Rudy Giuliani was a prosecutor. A lot of people, when he was U.S. attorney in the Southern District, accused him of some of these same due process violations. Do you think, and I know you're in touch with the former mayor, quite a bit. Do you think that seeing what's happened to his client, Donald Trump, here has changed his perspective at all on the role that prosecutors play in people's lives, particularly at the federal level?
I think it has. And I think, you know, look, he's quite disturbed by it. You know, it's exactly what he said last night. We have to ensure that this never happens in America again. And, you know, he's going through it at a level that nobody can understand. What they're doing to the president is beyond anything I could imagine. But at the end of the day, this is the kind of stuff that goes on. It's gone on for years. But the one thing, the one positive thing, if there's a positive thing in this, it's that people on the outside are now seeing what justice can really be made of.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame that it's become so politicized. 651, we'll continue with Bernie Kerik next, 877-970-2999. Let's say hello first to Debbie Duhame, who's got the traffic. Hello there, Debbie.
Hi, Frank, and let's take a spin, see what's happening here as you take it to the southbound New York State Thruway, starting to build, getting down toward the Tappan Zee Bridge, inbound GWB, that's 30 minutes in, Lincoln Tunnel 25, Holland 20, problems on the Garden State Parkway, south at 147, a collision there to contend with as well. Traffic is moving slowly on the Garden State Parkway north at 131 with an accident there. Cross Bronx westbound stop and go through White Plains Road. Accident involving a tractor trailer. Right lane is blocked. Deegan south by Fordham Road. Emergency construction. And the westbound belt into Lefferts Boulevard. That's a collision. Let's go to the Staten Island Expressway eastbound right at 440. Accident involving a truck. It's off on the shoulder. New Jersey Transit. Several trains canceled this morning with the positive train control. Six in total. Heading to the 6 and 7 train. Looks like you're still seeing delays on the 6, but the 7 is back on or close. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust, at a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion, there is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion-dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. You won't just hear partisan spin. You'll hear directly from the newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. On the Katz Roundtable, you won't just hear about politics. You'll hear about science, business, education, animal rights, and any other topics that you're interested in. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8:30, right after Marano in the Morning on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. How are you enjoying the latest stock market roller coaster ride? You've worked too long and too hard to let market volatility or a tired spend-down strategy rob you of your retirement savings? David Scranton, founder of Sound Income Strategies, has dedicated his entire career to educating specifically baby boomers on how to avoid market volatility and the retirement spend-down trap. To teach you how to get off the roller coaster and transform a potential retirement spend-down into retirement income, David's now offering free no-obligation income strategy kit to the first 1,000 people to respond to this message. 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234. For your free no-obligation income kit, call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. That's 866-913-1234. Investment advisor strategies offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, a registered investment advisory firm.
How can I enjoy my summer vacation with this ringing in my ears?
It's called tinnitus. If you've got it too, call the Hearing and Tinnitus Center on Long Island. Dr. Melanie Hertzfeld and her associates specialize in treating tinnitus. Other area specialists refer their tinnitus patients to the Hearing and Tinnitus Center. Find out why.
This is Dr. Melanie Hertzfeld. Our office has a variety of proven tinnitus therapies. If your ears are ringing, give us a call.
Call the Hearing and Tinnitus Center today. 516-364-0011. 516-364-0011.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
We'll have a mix of sun and clouds this morning, then plenty of sunshine this afternoon. A very warm, humid day with a high of 89. Tonight it'll be clear and mild. We'll drop to 72 in Midtown, mid-60s in some of the cooler northern and western suburbs. Sunshine mixing with clouds tomorrow. Very warm and humid. There can be a shower or thunderstorm before the day is through, high 88. For Saturday, clouds, breaks of sun, and much cooler but humid, with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, likely high 76 to 80. AM 970, The Answer.
Listen, if you own or rent a home or apartment or own a business, you could be saving money on your energy bill with Blue Rock Energy. Take control of your money. Make the free and easy switch to Blue Rock Energy right now. Summer is here, and with warmer weather comes higher gas and electric rates. Perhaps the forecast calls for you to lock in low energy rates while you still can. We'll talk to Blue Rock Energy to make the free switch before electricity and natural gas rates spike this winter. Seasons change, but your energy rates don't have to. Remember, when it comes to fixed energy rates, think Blue Rock. Blue Rock's pricing for sustainable sources is substantially lower than most competitive suppliers. Call today, 877-280-4909, or visit BlueRockEnergy.com to learn more and sign up. In just a few easy steps and clicks, you'll be on your way to a better and more affordable energy solution. Blue Rock Energy, 877-280-4909, or BlueRockEnergy.com.
Eric Metaxas, the show about everything, coming up tonight at 11 on AM 970, The Answer.
This portion of Piscopo in the Morning brought to you by Modell's Sporting Goods Store.
A couple of minutes before 7 o'clock, this is the Piscopo in the Morning show here with Bernie Kerik, 877-970-2999. Let's say hello to Stephen in Queens. Stephen, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Commissioner, I have one question about the part of your case where you pled guilty to essentially an ethical problem. Was that correct over in the Bronx Supreme Court?
Yeah.
What I don't understand is why wouldn't that be double jeopardy for the federal government to come in after you already allocated what you did in the state court? And even putting that aside for a second, I'm sure you had an experienced lawyer next to you. Wouldn't he anticipate that this was a possibility that could happen so that he would bring in the U.S. Attorney's Office at the time that you allocated whatever you did in the state court and cover you for any future problems?
Steve, very quick, we're going to let Bernie answer and then we'll continue after the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. You know, there were two charges in the Bronx court. One, that I failed to document a personal loan on some financial form. That was one charge. The second charge was that somebody did renovations on my apartment that I paid for, but I didn't pay enough, and they felt it was a discounted apartment. I paid the $221,000 fine, was told that was it, it was over. Then the feds came in, but I found out later the Bronx DA, the DOI in New York City, they are the ones that went to the feds and said, We don't really have anything on him, so you do this.
Wow. All right, we're going to continue with Bernard Kerik until 10 o'clock. Is it time to abolish ICE? We'll get into it. U.S. Senate candidate Shel Farley, she's going to call in as well. First, here's Altitude with the news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
75 degrees at 6:59. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. We've been talking about a Newark man wanted for crashing into a police car while trying to hit officers on foot. Police say that Luis Aponte wanted for allegedly jumping into a car and throwing it into reverse in order to hit a cop, then driving forward while aiming at two other officers. He then struck an unmarked squad car twice before escaping. Police say they are actively searching for Aponte. The case is under investigation. Police also searching for a violent serial robber in the Astoria section of Queens. They say he's targeting women in their 20s, punching one woman in the head, flashing a knife or machete at others before stealing their wallets, money, and credit cards. There have been five incidents since July 28th, all in and around 31st Avenue and 43rd Street. Surveillance video shows a thin, tall black male wearing red sneakers. In sports, Yankees beat the White Sox 7-3. Mets shut out the Reds.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.